All right, if you have your Bibles, Jude. I was going to say chapter, but there isn't one. Jude, verse 22. Is there a pen? There we go. All right, so Jude, verse 22, familiar if you've been in church for any length of time. We're just going to read that first verse with its friend there, verse 22 and 23. Then we're going to pray. Here we go, Jude 22 and 23. And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Verse 22 again. And of some have compassion, making a difference. Tonight I want to preach something God's worked on me about, and that is making a difference. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for your word. We're thankful that you're working, that you're still saving, that you're still dealing with us. We're thankful, God, for freedom that we have to come to church. We're thankful that we can go out and reach others. Help us, God. Please meet with us. Please speak to our hearts. Please take this simple message and give each person what they need, Lord. These are your people. I pray that you would speak. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. On the dinner table or at the restaurant, we find the condiments, salt and pepper. When we taste our food and it's a little bland, we add salt or pepper depending on what we like because we want to change the taste or enhance it a little bit. We eat it and said, yep, that made a difference. Sometimes we're reading a book and we have a light that maybe it bends or maybe it adjusts and we can't quite see because it's too dark. And we put the light right on the book and then we can see the words. Yep, that made a difference. God calls us to be light and salt in the earth. He wants us to make a difference.
Amen.
Now, changing things don't just make the difference because we can change them for the wrong way. Like if I changed the color of my house and painted it green with purple stripes, I would have changed it and it would have been different, but I would have been quite the sight there on the street. So we don't just change for the sake of change, but we make changes because of something. We know that if we do it, it will make a difference. God has called us to be that difference. When we live our lives, even in the world, we hear people say, well, I did it because I want to make a difference. No matter what the subject is, maybe they're wrong because it's against what the Bible teaches, or maybe it's similar to what we have, but people want to make a difference. Often I'm driving my truck and the sign holders are there at the stoplight and you see people hand out bottles of water, even cash. Because they feel like they need to make a difference. And we don't know who that person is standing on the corner. Maybe they're pulling a fast one, or maybe they actually do need something. But people want to make a difference. And as Christians, I'm sure that we want to make a difference.
Yeah.
But we have to focus on the right things. We're not just here to, I need to do something. I need to make a difference. You know, we need to focus on the things that make a difference. So the first thing, I have just 3 points. I don't know if it's short or long sermon, but it'll be simple. Just 3 points here. The first one is, as the verse tells us, we need to have compassion. So we need to focus on compassion. Sometimes dealing with bus kids or people that have problems, it gets annoying because they don't listen or they're goofing off. You bring them, you get up your Saturday and go out there and you know, people are working on their cars or chopping wood or going fishing and you're out there bus visiting and then you spend all the time getting up Saturday. The bus didn't start this morning. I was out there tinkering with the battery and you go and you pick up people and then they come in and goof off. And sometimes you go, because you're trying to make a difference. But we need to focus on compassion. We need to focus on compassion. You see, because they act that way because they didn't have the same opportunity that I did. They're here. We got them in, amen. They're sitting out there in that junior church class. and they're listening to the Bible story. Now, Mr. Zeke did a fine job this morning telling the Bible story, but I confess that I didn't hear it because preacher was preaching. And I was standing next to the door, and I'm like, ooh, that was good. And I just kind of leaned my ear on the door. I was listening to the things that he said. But we're in there making a difference because we're having compassion. We're teaching them truth. And the definition of compassion is a suffering with another, a painful sympathy. Compassion is a mixed passion compounded of love and sorrow. When people are going through problems, we're there as Christians. You know, I was thinking of Wayne yesterday. I didn't know what to say. So I went up and told him we were praying for him. And then he said something. I said, you know, God's big. God is good. I don't know what God's doing. And I confess that for me to tell you to keep your chin up and trust in God is easy because I'm not the one going through it. But I was trying to, I was sorry that he was hurting. I didn't like it, right? But God, for whatever reason, is allowing that to happen. And we can say, well, this should have happened and this should have happened. But the point is, at this point, he's going through it and we're there praying for him and being encouragement. We're having compassion. If we look at the world, we see that we're all God's creation. That doesn't mean we're all saved. It means God made us all. And we all deserve punishment because we've all sinned. We've all, and those that have been forgiven, we look at those that haven't. And we ought to have compassion. But what happens? I think I'm pretty average, pretty ordinary, that I think that if I think it, there's probably a lot of other people that think it, not that everybody will. But sometimes we make right choices and God has saved us and we look and we're like, wow, you know, they're so dumb in their sins. Sin makes them so stupid. And we feel like we're something because we haven't made those choices, when in reality it was God's mercy. God sent someone to my dad's door when he was a kid.
Right.
And he got saved and brought me to church and I got saved. And my kids have gotten saved. That was just God's goodness.
Yes.
But go back. We're all God's creation. And we were all in that same boat that we needed to be saved. Right? So there, where I could have been. When we're looking at people, we need to have compassion. If there's a man slipping into hell and we could physically grab him, boom. We see that picture and we think about someone rescuing someone from hell. But that person has a face. Mm-hmm. That person is the guy you work with. That person is your neighbor. That person is your college friends. That person is the guy that you knocked on the door that you never met before. That person is out there right now in Pocatello. We need to have compassion. When we realize that hell is a real place. Now, I have a lot of Mormon coworkers, and I've kind of gotten shaken a little bit. I see how do so many people not know the truth? What is there something there? I started asking questions, not because I thought they were right, but just like, what is it that makes so many people believe in this? Because, you know, there's the Bible, and how do you read the Bible, and et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, those people are going to wake up one day and find out that they were wrong. That hits me. What if I was like that? What if I was that guy that, well, we went to church again, all my, and this is a good spirit. We enjoy doing this. This is what my grandparents did. This is what my great grandparents did. And one day they're going to wake up and they're going to find out they were wrong. I have compassion for them. How do I talk to them? To say, hey, you're going to wake up and then it's going to be too late. We have to have compassion. Sometimes sin makes you stupid, but sometimes people are just sincere and deceived.
Right.
We need to have compassion. How am I going to get my neighbor to come to church? I'm going to pray for him. I'm going to be nice to him. I'm going to bring him cookies. And he comes over and shovels my driveway. And my wife's over there the next day with lemon bars. Just trying to be a good neighbor and let our light shine. But when we ask him to church, it's not a joke, right? Because we already have that relationship. We're already letting our light shine. We need to have compassion. We look in the Bible and we see three examples of compassion. In Luke chapter 15, we remember the prodigal son. The prodigal son was very foolish. Right. He took all of his substance and said, I'm out of here. And the father still had the love for his son. He wasted everything. He made the wrong choices. And the dad was still waiting there. And when he came close, it says the father ran. It said his father had compassion and fell on him and kissed him. He was so happy. That's the illustration of God's love for us as sinners. When we see people that make stupid mistakes, we need to seek out and make sure, hey, maybe they've hit rock bottom. We need to have compassion on their souls and say, here, let's work together. First, let's get saved, take care of that, and let's start following God. Another Bible example. Jesus was preaching to the multitudes there on the mountain, and it said that he had compassion on them because they had been there for 3 days and they hadn't eaten. Another illustration. It says that Jesus saw the multitudes and were moved with compassion as a sheep having no shepherd. Pastors talked about this. I've actually done it too, just because I happen to be there and the thought comes to your brain. Go up on one of these benches. We were down at Gibson Jack, or no, it wasn't. It was the South City Creek Trails or something, and it got dark. And when you come down, you can see all the city lights. And then that goes through your mind, all those people. I was out there to enjoy my hike, and I did have a spiritual thought. Those are the people that we're supposed to reach.
Amen.
Somebody's put something on their door. Everybody in here that's worked, somebody's been to their door. There's a paper hanging there, a packet, right? We've done the entire city for the most part. When I pray on Thursday nights, I often pray this, God, please bless the literature. It's sitting on their coffee table right now. I don't know. I don't have a face that I'm praying for. I don't have a name. But I know that God's told us to reach out to Pocatello and to bring them in. So if we're going to make a difference, we need to have compassion. We need to get rid of our pride. It's inconvenient. We need to get rid of that. We need to say, God, give me compassion for souls.
Amen.
God, those people I work with, they're difficult to deal with. God loves them. I should too. Let's have compassion. If we're going to make a difference in this world, in the time that we have, we need to, number one, have compassion. Number two, if we want to make a difference, we need to get praying. Ephesians 2:18. If you're going to turn there, I'll encourage you. You only have three verses to turn to. Ephesians 2:18. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Let that sink in. For through him, through Jesus, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. This is talking about our access to God. Ezekiel is 19 years old. He's saved. He has access to the King of Kings, to the Father, to the Creator of the universe. He can ask him for power. He can ask him for wisdom, and God will give it to him. One day you're going to stand and look at God. And this is a wonderful thought, if you're right with him. You're going to stand and it's going to be a continuing conversation. Because you're having one here on earth. Oh, now I get to see who the God I'm praying to. And now we're going to keep talking. Because when we pray, we have access to God. Forget about pastor. Forget about preacher. Forget about Mike. Just you. If you're saved, you have access to God. What's your problem? I don't know what it is. But you can take it right to God. Now, God has given us a pastor. God has given us friends to give us encouragement. And God put that pastor here, right? If you're part of this church and you believe that it's God's will for you to be here, God put him right here so that God could use him to speak to you and me. But you know what? If he's not here, if he's away, I can go right to God.
Amen.
I had a burden last week. And it was so heavy. I went in to go punch in for work, and I couldn't. My heart was too heavy. And I went over, and I leaned against the telephone pole, and I prayed to God. At 5:57 in the morning, no one knew. You know why I could do that? Because of that verse right there.
Amen.
For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. God wasn't sleeping. God doesn't work shifts. He's always available. And how does he do that? I don't know, because I'm finite. But God can take all of our prayers at 5:57 in the morning and know what each one of us are saying and take care of it. Because he's that big. But I think sometimes we say pray, and we know that we pray. But do we get a hold of God pray? There's a list that we pray off of. But then there's just a pour out our heart to God prayer.
Right.
Get a hold of God.
Amen.
In the Old Testament, there was a man fleeing from one of the kings. I think it was David. And he went into the altar and he grabbed the horns and he wouldn't let go because he was afraid for his life. When you have a burden, you don't have to go to some altar with horns. You can go right to your couch. You can kneel right by your bed and you can go right to God. Yep. And you can pour your heart out. We just sang a song ere you left the room this morning, did you think to pray? And then the other verses talked about other things. When we have temptations, it's easier to give in because we don't like to fight. No one might know, but we pray. God, okay, there it is. You know. Sometimes what frustrates me is when I get a hold of God and I'm like, yes, God gave me an answer. And then like 3 days later, I do something that I know is wrong. To the point that I know that if I go ask God for something, that he won't hear me.
Amen.
But we can go to God and ask him for forgiveness.
Yeah.
We need to get praying. We need to get a hold of God praying.
Yes, amen.
God, please give me the answer. God, please help me with this sin. We look at impossible situations, right? The building is exciting. The building is exciting for me because it's kind of out there beyond what makes sense, right? It's just a little bit further. You know, Pastor said we had this much in the bank. Oh, but we need this much. Oh, that I was excited because that's too much. Like, we don't, there's how we come up with that, right? And then you start praying and God goes, boop. Boom, boom. Right. And what are we saying? I know I can say this. We're not saying, wow, Pastor Whitaker, that's great. We're saying, wow, God, you're doing something.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, he's making decisions. I'm glad he's the one making decisions, right? I'm praying for him because he has to make the decisions. And I kind of go to him and I trust his walk with God, you know, but at the same time, God still has to do it.
Amen.
Right? God still has to do it. And we have no paper that says we've signed on the dotted line. But it sure does look like God's going to do something big.
Amen.
And we walk in the building. I didn't tell a lot of my family because I was embarrassed. Like, you know, look at this. We sang it as well and I filmed it. I didn't want to send it to him because I didn't want him to think that I was bragging. Like, look at our church. But I can't wait till God does it. Then I can send him the thing and say, look what God did. We didn't have the money and boom. Then I can give praise to God for that.
Amen.
Hey, keep praying for us, right? But we need to get praying. I have 5 little sinners in my house. I've never been more overwhelmed in my life. I am praying, but boy, have I really got praying. We need to get praying.
Yeah, it's good.
We have access.
Amen. It's good.
Preach it, bud.
James 5. James 5:15, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. The Lord shall raise him up. We can help. Now the verse here, the context here, we're not looking at just praying for sick people, but that prayer moves God. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. What is it? I don't have anything in our family right now that we're praying for sickness. But if there was, we most certainly could pray for it. We're praying for Manya. We're praying for Mrs. Tonks now. We're praying for Kale. Because the prayer of the faith shall save the sick. And it doesn't mean that they're going to get healed. But just that God can heal. We pray. We pray for comfort. When you're sick, boy, I'm sorry. I'm just sorry. But you know what? I don't want to get old. I mean, the older you get, it seems like the more pokes you get, the more pills you get. My parents are telling me, my dad was one of those guys that are like, doctor. You know, he just drink lots of water, get some rest, eat healthy. He doesn't have the sin problems of, you know, that cause your health, like drinking and smoking. And now he's old.
Older,
thanks. Now he's older. And he's like, yeah, I go to the doctor, I go get my pills. Dad, you're taking pills? What happened to you, man? He's getting older, right? And guess what's going to happen to me? The same thing. But when we're going through these things, we're praying. We can pray. Yeah, like Pastor put the perfect balance in this morning. I'm not going to rehash everything he said. But basically, God's given us medicine and knowledge for today. And it's a miracle. Uncle Mike. My brother had my nieces, right? So they're twins. They were born premature. They were born at 29 weeks. They are 4. How does that happen? It's a miracle from God, for one. The one was born smaller than the other. She was 1.5 pounds. My brother said that was the weirdest thing, to hold his daughter in his palm. She's 4. Praise God for knowledge. Praise God for medical. I mean, they knew, okay, when the baby's developing, he lived next to an ICU-4, which was the highest one. Or a NICU, natal, prenatal one. NICU. So, anyway, they were in the hospital for a long time, but they're 4. Both of them are 4. They made it. Praise God for medical knowledge. But here we're not talking about medical knowledge, even though it says, to be healed, even though it says that. But the point is that when we pray, God moves. God's given us the joy of praying, that we can be part of it. God, would you please do this? Look at verse 16. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The word fervent means to be at work, to put forth power. The word availeth is another power word. It means that it has power, to be a force. So we have the effectual putting forth power. Prayer of a righteous man is a force much. Let's make it simple. Prayer is powerful. When we go to God, we have access to God. And we can I don't want to say awaken God's power, but have God to move because we said this and God did this. We've heard the things. What will we find out in heaven that we missed out on because we didn't pray? Okay, so let's, that's a good thought, but let's say to ourselves, what's right in front of me? My family. What's right in front of me? My bus route. What's right in front of me? The people I work with. What's right in front of me? We don't have to go dream up anything. It's right in front of us and we're not praying about it.
Wow.
Let's get praying.
Amen. It's good.
My neighbor is lost. Let's get praying. It isn't because you don't have access unless you're in sin.
Right.
Okay. It's right in front of us. If you're sin, there's an altar. Come forward. Take care of it. And then now you have access to God and let's get praying.
Amen.
Life is short. If you're 10, it seems like it's forever. If you're 47, the older I get, the older old gets, right? You get like, wow, this is going by really fast, right? And then all of a sudden, all the older than us people always say the same thing. Life goes by fast. What are you writing down? Not physically, but what's your life like in a book, right? What's the pages of your life look like? So right now, you can make a choice. You have access to God. And if you don't, we can take care of that tonight. You can go home and take care of it. And then you have access to God. There, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. There was a couple illustrations I had here. We need to get praying for our family. A man that's now a pastor said, when he was a kid, he went to his dad and said, how come I always get caught? My friends do things and they get away with it, but I never get away with it. And the dad laughed and said, because your mother prays, you always get caught. Cute illustration. Do you pray for your kids that they get caught?
It's good.
Are you praying? We need to get praying. We need to get praying. Not just for that. There's plenty of things to pray for. We need to pray for souls. A man said, there is nothing that makes us love a man so much as praying for him.
Right.
I have people that I've worked with, and they annoy me. I don't like to work with them. There's a lot I can get. I'm at work. Let's work together and get it done. And when there's people that have a bad attitude about getting things done, they annoy me. Annoy me. We're here to work, man. Let's go. But you know what? That person has a soul. And I have to be really careful.
Amen.
I have to be careful. Mike can be pretty sarcastic sometimes. I have to be really careful not to say things. Because he has a soul. He needs to come to church. He needs to get saved. And when you pray for someone, it changes how you look at them. Rather than being annoying, that's a soul that I'm trying to reach. How am I going to do that? You might even have to put them in their place, right? If they're doing wrong at work, you should put them in their place. Hey, you're here to work, right? Let's work. But it doesn't mean we have to be nasty or hurtful with our tongues. We need to pray for souls. We need to pray with passion. John Bunyan said, when you pray, rather let thy heart be without words than thy words without heart. What kind of praying do you do? I don't know. I don't know what you call it. I just know that sometimes, please, God, please. And you're crying. And it's all right there. See? See? God hears.
Amen.
That's what makes Christians different. I read a lot of quotes on prayer looking for something to put in here. And now I'm up here preaching, I remember one guy said, I'm more scared of righteous men praying than I am 10,000 soldiers. Amen. That's because righteous men are praying. I don't know that our country is really afraid of Christians praying because we really don't do it. Let's get praying. We need to pray with faith. An evangelist I heard preach one time, you can't see it. Sometimes you can't feel it. And you can't even understand it. But you ask for it anyway because God said he's going to do it. That's praying with faith. That person, he'll never get saved. That's what we say. That's what we think. But God says he wants to save him. And we Amen. Pray with faith.
Amen.
We pray, God, please do this. I'm learning that sometimes when I don't know how to pray, I just start talking to God about it. I don't know how to pray, God. I really would like you to do this. And I know that you said this in your word, and I know this, and I know this. But at the end of the day, I'm going to submit to your righteousness because I don't know what you're going to do. You just talk to God. What do you want him to do? Sometimes, okay, so we have pray for your family. Pray for souls, pray with passion, pray with faith, And sometimes we need to pray special. What do you mean by that? Jesus was dealing with the people there, and a man brought his, I think it was his son, to him. He said the disciples couldn't cast out the demons. He throws himself in the fire, and he looked at the disciples after he cast out. He said, "This kind goeth not out by prayer and fasting." Sometimes we need to have special prayer. You don't have to have special prayer for God to answer, but just sometimes there's some serious things. You're not looking at a guy that's an expert, right? I haven't done a serious study on fasting, but I know there's been a couple times in my life where I said, "God, this decision is life-changing. I am going to not eat, and I'm going to pray about this until you tell me what to do, because I really don't know." There isn't any Bible black and white thing, right? I don't know, but I'm going to make a decision, and I really need to know, because it's going to affect the rest of my life. It's happened a couple of times. And the best way I can explain this to you, it wasn't casting out demons, but it was, it doesn't, you don't have to fast if it's, okay, now I'm bobbled around. Just because you're fasting doesn't mean you're casting out demons. But that means that there's a spiritual battle going on, and it's going to cost something. You should be serious enough, and God will answer your prayer. God can answer your prayer because you pray, because you have access to Him. But just sometimes we need to be really honed in. And the best way I can explain it to you is that if I don't eat, I'm not distracted, because my energy is now focused on what I'm praying about. And when I remember that it's time to eat, I remember why I'm not eating, and I pray about it again. When you eat, right, you're pleased. You're eating. Most of us eat because we like the taste, right? Now there's some people that just, that's why I eat, because it's time to eat. I know a couple people like that, but most of us like, I want to taste the food. I don't want to choose that because that doesn't taste good. And when you're not seeking to please your senses, eating is God wants us to eat, right? But when you set that aside, now all your energy is focused, even through the day. Oh, I'm hungry. Oh, yeah. And you pray about it. You're keeping your mind and your focus on the answer from God. That's the best way I can explain it. And I know that a couple times in my life where I really needed an answer, God gave me a very clear answer, and I was at peace, and I knew. Did I have to fast? I don't know. But I know that there's some times when things are really big that we need to fast. Maybe there's some bondage that needs to be broken. I think that's what the demon part is when he's casting out the demons. I think that's why you need power from God especially. But another time that's special is to set aside a time of prayer. Not in your list reading prayer. Or you're praying, "God, I'm just going to pray today. I'm going to set this aside. I'm going to go in my office or go in your spot, and you're going to pray about it." I'm just trying to say we need to get praying.
Amen.
We need to get praying. First of all, if we're going to make a difference, we need to have compassion. Second of all, if we're going to make a difference, we need to get praying, because it isn't us that's doing it. Right? We understand the tools. We know the tools of church buildings and programs, and we can get our materials. But God has to breathe into it for Amen. It to be from Amen. Him and for it to work. So we need to get praying. Amen. Lastly, in order to make a difference, we need to commit to walking with God. Psalm 128, verse 1. See, that's the last verse you have to turn to. It's easy. Psalm 128, verse 1. Yeah, last time I preached, I did 127. That wasn't on purpose, but Psalm 128, verse 1. "Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways." We need to get praying. And walking with God is a bigger subject than that. It says, "Blessed is everyone." As I looked up that word, often we associate happiness with it. But it kind of worded it like this: how happy exclamation point. So it's kind of an exclamatory thing. Hey, how happy? Do you want to be happy? And it's not talking about the frivolous happy, right? Happy, happy, happy type stuff. But a peace, a happiness, a contentment in life because God has blessed us. The feareth the Lord. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord. Now feareth the Lord. All right, sorry. Here we go. Silly illustration. When I go truck driving, I eat where I try to plan it out, eat something healthy. I like Maverick, the Maverick Deli in Idaho Falls. They've got street tacos. They make it right there, fresh. It's good for you. I like it. But sometimes I can't make it there, and I have to eat something on the go, and it really doesn't like me. So I go, I know my places where I can put 50 cents in and get a can of Coke. And if you drink a can of Coke too fast and you've eaten something, right, you have that noisy byproduct that comes out. Right, you have to say, but I'm in my truck. Nobody cares. Like right now, you're like, why did you even tell us that? That was weird. But if I'm in a group of people, especially if there's ladies present, I would never do that. That's not even funny. It's rude. Why? Because I respect you. I respect, that's manners, right? I'm not going to do that in front of people. You're going to think I'm a slob. Maybe I already think that, but you're going to think, well, that was rude. No, I'm going to respect you. But if you're not around, you're not going to care. It isn't that I fear you, it's that I respect you. How do you fear the Lord? Don't do anything that's wrong while he's around. You don't fear the Lord like, no. It's because you respect the Lord. You're fearful of what he would do to you. You're fearful of the break in fellowship because you have sinned. Because there isn't a time when God isn't around. He's with you if you're saved. So if I'm driving my truck down the road, if I'm going to fear the Lord, I have to treat it as if he's physically sitting there. By the way, he is, just not physically. If we're going to fear the Lord, we need to be aware of right and wrong, our sins, the secret sins, right? No one's going to know. Yeah, someone will know. God will know. When you go to pray, you're not going to have that fellowship. You have access to God, but now there's something in the way. If there's somebody that you're really trying to pray for or something you're trying, you're not going to get it. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord. I told a guy at work one time, I feared my dad. It wasn't that I feared my dad as a person because he was going to do something violent to me, but I was feared that I'd get punished when he found out, right? I respected my dad. But I don't know, when I was a kid, he must have really did it right because you didn't argue with dad. You didn't put in your 2 cents after he said it. You just did it or you would catch it, right? It's because that's the kind of reverent fear that we have for God. We are supposed to walk in his ways. That's a continuation. We walk in his ways today, tomorrow, continuously. Hey, I went to church this Sunday. But if you're going to be blessed, blessed is everyone that fear the Lord that walketh in his ways. If you're going to be blessed, you have to continually do right things. Not just have ups and downs. Right. It's a continuation. If we're going to make a difference, we have to commit to walking. How many times do I have to do something really sinful for my kids to lose all faith in my Christianity? Wow. Just once. Ooh. Who am I making a difference for? My wife? My lost coworkers? My kids? They're going to grow up and they're either going to despise what we do because I'm a hypocrite or they're going to love it. Or even if they make wrong choices, they're going to know that, hey, that's right, but I don't want any part of it. How many times? We have to continually, look, God is merciful. Nobody in here hasn't had to get right with God before, right? It's 2020. We're almost getting to the end of that. I've gotten right with God many times this year. We're not sinless. Just because we walk with the Lord and we get a hold of God in prayer doesn't make us sinless. That's why I go to church every Sunday. It isn't because I wouldn't get to teach Sunday school, although I wouldn't. But I need it. I was sitting out there Thursday night, and I turned into the radio because I was like right at the end. And I'm like, I don't want to go interrupt. I know he said it's okay, but I don't. I was listening to it on the radio, and I couldn't get it. And my heart was thirsty. And I said, I'm going to go interrupt. And I sat in here, and I'm ready to listen to the rest of it because I need it. How am I going to continue to walk in his ways? I need to be reminded that I'm going the wrong way. Amen for faithful people that are sitting in front of me. But just because we're faithful doesn't mean that we're not going to have to. That was very disappointing. I got a hold of God about something, and then I messed up. That was disappointing. Now, okay, I'm gonna humble myself, and I'm going to get right. Because I want that access again. I want to be able to beg God for things. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. The conclusion, Matthew 25, 21. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. When we get to heaven, I don't know where my pastor is going to be. Okay, don't take that way.
I'm planning on being there.
You're planning. That came out the wrong way. I paused. All right, so pastor will be there, but he isn't going to be up there with me like, no, this is Mike. Yeah, he has his ups and downs, but, you know, he really was a help in the church. No. It's just going to be me and God. And he's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, or he's not. Right now, when I pray to God, it's nice. You can look at him. God, what do you want me to do? Hey, and you can pray about things. You don't even have to open your mouth. You're just, maybe you have to go somewhere and you're praying. You see something happen or you're reminded of something. God, right there. See that right there? And inside you're praying this silent prayer. But you're pouring out your heart to God. Because you can. And he hears you. And then when you go to see him, you're going to look at him. You're going to be standing there. You're going to be excited that you finally meet face to face with your Creator.
Amen.
You're going to have lots of questions. And you're going to be so thankful that he saved you. You're in heaven. You know because he died for you. The promises that he made to you are now real and they've come alive. Or you're going to hang your head. Because you missed out serving him. And when you go to tell him how you did, you're not going to have much to say. Because you lived on earth for the wrong reasons. You didn't pray. You didn't seek souls. You didn't walk with him. It was too inconvenient. When you look at him, and he's going to take stock of what your Christianity was like, you're going to remember all those opportunities. Look, we have fun. It's not wrong to go fishing. It's not wrong to go. We have roller skating sometimes. To do those fun activities. We like to go backpacking. There's pleasures and God wants to give us those things. But that's not what we live for. We live for him. And we have these things to do. And you know what's enjoyable? Doing them with others that have the same attitude. Right now, I get to serve God with a man who taught me for 15 years. And finally, he got a hold of something after 15 years. I get to serve God with people that are serious about this. You come to church and it is a fellowship. Look, if you need to get right with God, the altar is open. You can do that.
Amen.
Because God's not like we are, right? When sometimes we can be kind of look down our nose. Oh yeah, it's about time you got right with God. Boy, we were waiting. Sorry, rascal. Right? That's not God. God is like the man in the prodigal son. He's waiting for you to come back to him and get some things right. He loves you. He wants to bless you. But the sin is in the way and he's waiting for you to take care of it. Okay, so we're right with God. Let's ask ourselves these things. Are we praying? Are we walking with him? How's our attitude about souls? Because, whoop, life's over and we're staying before him. And heaven's going to be wonderful. I even think the millennial kingdom is going to be very fun. It's going to be wonderful. Life is just for the time that God gives us. What kind of choices are you making? Let's pray. Dear God, we're trying, God. We're trying to serve you. We come up short. Lord, each of us have a different personality. Each of us have different battles. And God, there's little kids out here that can pray and be right with you. There's teenagers that can be right with you and do something for you and influence people. God, we just need to get a hold of you and be serious about this Christianity. Help us, God, at the altar to do what we need to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor.